Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, you know Shibu, JT George. He listens to the show. He's been listening for years.
Yeah.
He gave up the show for Lent. Don't do that.
Well, he feels like that's a...
It's a major sacrifice.
He must really like the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know... You
Please don't do that anymore,
days.
Though.
You can have skip days.
Yeah, give up. I don't know. Give up your wife or kids or something. Don't give up the show.
Give up chips.
Yeah. I couldn't give up chips. Mm. Alcohol's easier. I couldn't give up chips.
No way.
Yeah. 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 Had my first Coors Light yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Stopped at one?
I did. I had one with, we had some crawfish. Found a new crawfish place that I'm not telling anybody about because I don't want it to be popular.
Were the prices good, or was it the
prices are good? The prices. It's yeah. $10 now. $10.50. That's hard, but it's still they're
When's
the best.
When's the last time you put hot crawfish fingers in your eye? How long has it been?
I try to avoid that as much as possible. I've done that plenty.
It's a bad. Oh yeah. The worst is it's not crawfish, forget. But having any kind of jalapeno, even if you pick it off of something. Like, you know, it's got a lot of seeds, or you even pick up a seed and kind of take it off.
Yeah.
Well, you better remember. And even if you kind of take a napkin and, you know, take your hand through it, it's still not good enough. We did pizza, fajitas, and sausage yesterday. And I had to wait on a sausage. I was boiling a sausage, but.
Sausage? What kind of sausage do you boil?
You have to almost. You put it on a grill and it shrivels up. It puts that nasty look to it. If you put it on a hot grill, like I'd had to do a separate temperature for it. So I just did that. But the kids don't really eat it much, so they're about to. They're about to catch some jambalaya, and they're going to eat it whether they like it or not. But the fajita, I just cannot say enough about. You've never gotten a fajitas there, have you?
No.
It's tenderloin.
Yeah.
It's a joke. He just puts some. Seasons them, and then, man, there were so many people. I was in there. There were so many people coming in. Do you know this? This is like just a little hint for you guys. Not even advertising. This is just a hint. If you go buy a rack of
ribs?
Like a rack of no, not even ribs. Like you just go buy the rack of bone-in like strips. He will cut it for you to your thickness, and you get it like at a different price. You get it way cheaper than when it's already individual. When you buy it individually.
Yep.
That's the way to do it.
Yep. No, well, you buy in bulk, and even at Pete's.
You're going to eat that much steak anyway.
That's right. 807 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm watching Cameron Sutton get arrested here. It'll be interesting to see how long he and how long.
It's a domestic violence.
Rishi Rice is going to.
It's a domestic violence. Is it considered a charge yet? Is he charged with domestic violence? Well, it is now that you're basically hiding out.
And is resisting arrest?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I know that he's already been cut, so it won't matter. We'll see. I don't think any NFL team is going to touch him this year regardless. And then Rashee Rice. So, you know, that's a team that has had issues with off the field issues with multiple players. I don't know how this is going to affect Rashee Rice because this is a good player. This is an up-and-coming player. This is going to be beyond the Chiefs' scope, I think. This is going to be the NFL stepping in and making a decision on that. And, you know, you have Jalen Carter, who was in college, but it was much publicized, was in a street race where a teammate lost his life. I've got a funny feeling the NFL is not going to look lightly at street racing stuff. Everyone knows so much about all the issues that have happened with the Georgia program, the loss of life with the Jalen Carter street race. I think the NFL is going to make a strong statement, whether it's Would six games be a strong statement to you?
And Henry Ruggs? I mean...
Well, and, oh, yeah, and Henry Ruggs. I mean, yeah, a loss of life where a lady burned to death.
People could have lost their life in the Rasheed Rice deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a woman in childhood.
Yeah.
What do you think the punishment, if I had to give you a guess?
Well, I think he could miss half the season.
Yeah.
I think he could.
Could he be gone for a year?
Well, I mean, not only that, but, well, the illegality of it. If he was street racing and he had copped to it and, he took responsibility for it, instead he walked away.
Yeah.
I mean, Cameron Sutton, same deal. Instead you run away. This is a bad look for the league.
It really is. Guys just running away from the cops and deciding, like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you honestly think is going to happen?
To Rasheed Rice?
No.
No, you run away from it. Yeah.
Now, as somebody mentioned, if they did have guns or anything illegal in the car, then they were saying this in the Twitter thread, and I thought, hey, he's probably right. Would you rather sit and wait it out, or would you rather take it? I'm not condoning it, obviously, but if they had something illegal and took off with it, then that might make more sense than taking off if you had nothing to. Because now you have no proof of it. If there was something illegal in the car, either one of the cars, and I'm interested in who the other guy was, the Lamborghini, did he know that person? Did you read that? I didn't read that he knew.
Well, there were four of them that were walking
all together,
off together,
right? Yeah,
I guess they were. I don't know. We have to assume that they were.
Well, I haven't heard if it's another player.
Yeah.
And did you see the, over the weekend, we're about to get to all the weekend stuff. It was terrible. It was a red wedding for Houston weekends. But did you see the video that went around of Kim Mulkey at Louisiana Tech?
Yeah. As a player?
She could play a little
bit. Yeah, she could play. Yeah, she could play. Did you see the Duke dancing in the locker room videos?
After they beat Houston?
No. Yeah, I mean, no.
Well, not after they lost
to NC
State.
They do a lot of... Did you see this, Dell? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. No, Duke
is it McCain? He's the one who dances quite a bit.
It's a bunch
of them.
Well, Jeremy Roach got involved, too, but McCain's the one that goes viral.
He's one who goes viral because he has his nail paint.
Thank God, it's embarrassing for the program. Thank God they're not in the Final Four.
Yeah, this is an example of how things have changed. When you see the dances, it's just so. And I know what everyone's thinking. Yeah, Lance, they're zesty dances, and
it's just embarrassing.
And the Gen Zs are a zesty group when it comes to their dancing and some of their stuff. It was embarrassing. It is embarrassing. I just saw the dances, and it's like, I'm glad NC State won. Thank goodness NC State won, so we don't have to see Duke doing anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, over the weekend, mentioned this is a red wedding weekend, pretty terrible. Houston Cougars lose on Friday to Duke, and it was a good game. Like, they were... Good game. It was a competitive game, but Houston loses Jamal Shedd in the first half, turns his ankle with some low-top shoes on, but guys just don't wear high tops anymore, so that ankle rolled up and he was done. Came out on a knee scooter at halftime, so you knew he was finished. Because if it's not just ultra severe, there was no doubt in my mind. He'd take the shots, he'd tape up. If he had any way to be out there, Jamal Shedd would have been out there. But for him not to be out there, it just tells you what was going on.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. So the Cougars lose. They're done. Then you have the Rockets. They won. They beat the Utah Jazz, but then yesterday they were blown out by Luka and the Mavs. Kyrie had a great game. Luka was unbelievable. Damn near got to 50. Had 22 points in the first quarter. And just bad game for the Rockets. They lose their win streak. Golden State wins yesterday. The Rockets now down two games in their quest to get into the playoff run. And, I mean, they did everything they could. I mean, they've been winning like crazy. It's just Golden State. They just can't, Golden State can't lose. Golden State just can't lose. And then you have the Astros getting swept by the Yankees. 0-4 against the Yankees. And the bullpen was a big culprit in that one.
It was the culprit. It was the – I mean, and is it – well, you didn't have Norris. You didn't have Maton. It's Seth Martinez that you're
blowing it.
It's Parker Muschinski.
Muschinski.
It's Taylor Scott.
Yeah, they all had their issues, but it was also Ryan Pressly twice.
Yeah, Ryan Presley.
Montero
Abreu
once,
gave up a three
Abreu
spot
once.
Yes,
and then you had you know, and then you had Hader got
and
beat.
Hader
it wasn't a bad outing necessarily, but Hader got beat.
Yep. Yep.
So it was all of them. Like, there was multiple poor performances.
It was awful. It was awful all weekend long. 713-780-3776 is the number you want to get in here. Dell's got ship talk coming your way at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I got my bookie. You got the Final Four coming up. If you've been betting on the Rockets up until yesterday, okay, you had a nice run. You made yourself some money, okay? Did you? Were you at my bookie? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You put in the promo code, and even if you have been, a client at MyBookie, you still are going to be able to get a bonus when you put in promo code BET975. The site is awesome. It's easy to navigate. There's not only all of the sports betting that you can do, but casino betting as well. You can bet on entertainment. You could have bet on the Oscars, or you could bet on the next Pope. You can bet on other. You can bet on European sports. Did you bet on the big Man City game yesterday? I don't know. Did you? Well, did you hope you took a no score in it? If you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, you know your sports, or you know your gambling. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 818 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776.
Let's get some thoughts in here.
Redeeming...
I want to hear from Cook fans.
Yeah.
I want to hear from Astros fans. I mean, the sky is not falling yet. I know it feels like it because they're 0-4. But in terms of, I mean... Honestly, it's 0-4. It sucks. The bullpen lets you down. But there's enough from a hitting standpoint. I'm not worried about Yordan. He'll be fine. Honestly, the walks, and we talked about this Thursday already, the walks for Framber really bothered me. But Yainer Diaz looked good this weekend hitting the baseball. I love the fact that you have, you know, Hunter Brown had a nice performance. Christian Javier had a nice performance. That's huge. That's one of the things we think are the key to the season. I thought J.P. France was fine. He looked like a fifth starter out there. He was, you know, his stuff, he had some good moments. He'd give up some. It wasn't like he did give up runs. I mean, he did get hit a little bit when he gave up his runs. It's not like it was just random, you know, like it was just a three-run home run. He gave up some hits, but he was okay. I thought J.P. France was okay.
You know, J.P. France is going to be okay. He's going to be good. He was actually really good. You had to have him last year. He's a fourth starter. It'll be interesting to see Ronel Blanco. It'll be interesting to see if Fromber can bounce back now against Toronto. It'll be interesting to see if Javier can have another nice outing. Listen, it's the second series of the season. They look like crap the first series. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Where are we on Joe Espada? I mean, it's
after four games.
Other than his infatuation with John Singleton, I think he's fine. Although my buddy went off on why are you bringing in Seth Martinez, a guy who barely made this roster in that first game right after Fromber? Why would you bring in a Seth Martinez?
That was a little – it's almost like Joe's trying to give some guys chances that didn't have as many chances.
Well, yeah. And then Taylor Scott came in and looked great in the seventh inning of that game and then blew up the next game.
Yeah. And then yesterday he was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
– But how did he get in three games?
I don't know. Well, I mean, can you use Presley now?
Well, two bad performances. Abreu sucked his first time back from suspension in game three of the series, but he was was solid yesterday.
Yep.
Got himself out of a little bit of a spot, I guess, or, but he was fine.
Yep. One guy's fine one day and then sucks the next. I mean, it is. It's tough. It's hard. Listen, Start winning at home. My goodness, this is ridiculous. It is ridiculous the way that they're playing at home. This is a really, really, this is a top-notch, best organization in baseball over the last 7 years, and this is the product that you put out there at home? It's amazing. What the hell happened? What happened? What changed about mid-September last year? What changed with this organization?
I don't know, because it went right down the tubes and was never recovered.
Yes. At what in the hell happened at mid-September last year that all of a sudden this is the product that they put out at home? It is amazing. It's amazing. The Astros need to get rid of Dusty and Maldi. They are the issue, says Esteban. They're going to be fine, Esteban. They're going to be just fine. Okay, slow down. They were, you know what? Maldi was not, it was frustrating what happened. You want Maldi back instead of Yiner? Is that what you want?
No.
Esteban, is that what you want, coach? You want Maldi back instead of Yiner? Yiner's not the problem, coach. There's a lot of other problems. There's a lot of other issues, like this bullpen. Do they have to go out and find some bullpen help?
No.
I don't know.
No, we're four games in.
I know we're four games in.
We're just talking about this is the big strength. What are you talking about?
Well, the back end. No. The back end of the bullpen is their big strength.
Well, let some guys pitch. Like, I will say,
Presley's a little scary right now, though.
Well, there's nothing you can do about that. Presley's your guy, and that's that. I mean, you're stuck with Montero. They're going to have to really figure out if Montero doesn't have it going, then you're just going to have to eat the contract and just use him sparingly. He should not be. I mean, you'd like to get him going so you don't say, but I mean, I don't know. Does Scott remind me of a guy who's going to pitch all year for you? No. Mushinski? No. When some of the starters get back, somebody's going to the pen. It'll either be Blanco or J.P. France, and that will be, you know, that'll be some important innings to get eaten up there. So I don't know. I don't think you need to be worried about buying bullpen right now. When you have Hader, you've got three that you love a lot. You got one guy that's getting paid and is going nowhere in Montero. And then, you know, you're going to have a long inning reliever potentially with J.P. France or Renel Blanco at some point. Who knows what happens with Garcia and McCullers. Like, I think you're going to have to let this thing play out. I'm not panicking after four games. It sucked, and I am worried about it. And I will tell you this. You know, did I think about the fact that this could be one of those dead years that there's just not good energy around the team because you got a new manager in, so it's just things have changed. You've got Maldonado's out, who was one of the team leaders and a clubhouse guy. You've got Alex Bregman believing he's on the way out, and why would you not? And every other player could think the same thing.
Well, he still hasn't made an offer for Alex Bregman.
No, he's not. Yeah, like Bregman's not going to be here.
And when he does make an offer, it's going to be lowball.
It's going to lowball. Yeah. It's almost going to be not even worth making an offer. So what you're going to do is you're going to have bad juju and bad energy on that team. Bregman's basically dead man walking this year. This is a lame duck season for Alex Bregman, although with the Astros, but he is playing for a contract. So, you know, you have that going for you. I mean, no, this is the worst possible scenario because you don't have your safety blanket in Justin Verlander. He's not out there. Your bullpen cratered this weekend. You got a new manager, so you kind of have to, you know, whether you like Dusty or not, Dusty won a bunch of games. Dusty was a guy who, you know, you feel like it's comfortable having Dusty back there. You know that Pawpaw's going to flip that coin and make some different decisions sometimes, but he wins, and there was a comfortable feeling with him back there. Right now, we got to get used to a lot of new stuff. You have no Justin Verlander for right now. You don't have Dusty Baker, so he's out. You got a new manager we have to get used to. Got guys in the bullpen you don't feel entirely comfortable with. You do feel comfortable with, you should, with your top three, but two of them really had bad performances, and that would be Abreu in his first performance of the year, and of course two by Ryan Presley, who was coming off a season where the Astros felt like they needed to go get Josh Hader because they obviously didn't think that he was trustworthy enough to be a full-time closer. So I do worry about, though, that some of the things, okay, you know, this guy's gone. You've got Maldonado's gone from the team, and he had a calming influence on pitchers. And now you've got, you know, a situation where Alex Bregman, one of your, you know, I mean, this is a day one guy, basically. It was 16, but still, he's basically day one from the regime that has taken over and been the best in baseball over the last 7 years, and you know he's gone. You know he's gone. That's probably, that's not a great feeling. At least you had some hope, you thought, with Carlos Correa. I feel like there's no hope on Kyle Tucker, and there's no hope on Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Will that ever have an impact on the Astros? And, you know, and also, you had things happen this weekend that aren't going to have. You'll have some hits fall in. You'll have some bullpen do their job. They're going to get wins. But what if this isn't? I know you were talking about all these guys having their best years of their career. What if they don't?
Well, if they don't, then.
What if they don't? What kind of team are they?
Yeah.
Because last year, it was a miracle, frankly. I mean, they needed to win, but they needed help. They couldn't have gotten into the playoffs without help.
I think you're seeing what would happen if they don't. You're not coming up with clutch hits. You're not. I mean, Yordan being below average this weekend. Bregman being below average this weekend. McCormick nothing. Pena up and down with in key positions. I mean, you think you're seeing what could happen. If guys don't play well, then they're going to suck, and that's what they did this weekend. The Texans started winning in September. And about mid-September, the Texans started winning, and that's when the Astros started to suck.
Yep.
At home, Houston Sports, zero-sum game.
What was this weekend?
Well, it certainly was. I mean, this was...
I feel so bad. Man, I feel so bad for Kelvin Sampson, Jamal Shedd, and that whole team.
Yep.
I mean, it's like you were robbed. Everyone on my timeline thought the same thing. Done. Done. As soon as Shedd was out, you're done, because we know this team.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and yet you weren't.
Wait a minute. What? Who could afford to lose their All-American first teamer?
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. It's almost,
nobody.
And yet
could.
They were still in the game.
Yeah.
But you just knew it was done, and that sucks. And now, you know, I mean, I'm just because I'm worried. Like, who's going to be the next Jamal Shedd? That guy's special. He is special.
No,
he's an extension of Sampson. So.
No,
does Houston continue to do everything that they just did?
Listen, they lost Quentin Grimes, then they lost Sasser, now they're losing Shedd. He'll find somebody.
Yeah, but Shedd was
people
on all
want to play
those.
Here.
Shedd was on all those.
Cryer's things. Saying he's probably going to come back. Cryer's probably coming back.
Probably.
I mean, that dude.
Well, get ready. You better pony up a bunch of money, because somebody's going to buy
done.
Him off you.
You
Mac
know.
Better put a bunch of money into it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Daspit's sending money that way
well,
anymore.
Well, you know what? I don't think Kelvin needs as much money as other programs would. They want to play for Kelvin. They love it. They
That's
love
fine,
playing
if,
for that
if
guy.
If somebody offers Cryer $250,000.
Yeah, he might.
You're going to have to pony up.
He might. Yeah, they're going to have to pony up, but that's okay. You'll pay for an LJ Cryer. 830 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell's got his ship talk next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've got hoops to talk about. Listen, it's not even arguable. When you're watching these games and you're seeing the dunks, when you're watching these games and your kids are watching and they want to play, they want to look like this. I don't think they want to look like DJ Burns, but they want to look like the players that they're watching night in and night out in the tournament and in the NBA. They want to play. They want to dunk. They want to have fun. They're not big enough to be. They're not like those guys. So here's the deal. Lower the goal so they can be like those guys. Lower the goal so that they can actually make baskets when they're little. Lower the goal so they can actually dunk, okay, because they're not nearly as athletic as those guys. That's okay. You know what you want them to do? You want them to shoot. Shoot, because shooters will always get paid. Shooters will always get paid. But they can't make it when they're little. They can make it with a hoop goal, with a pro dunk goal, because the pro dunk goal you can lower and raise. Best goal ever. Your wife will love it because of the curb appeal. You'll love it because the kids are playing. It'll be a great value for you and your family at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 833, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell, ship talk, take it away.
Yeah, a lot of a lot of college basketball stuff, a lot of coaches talking. We're going to first go to Brad Underwood, the head coach of the Illinois Fighting Illini. They got their brains beat in, 30-0 run to lose to Connecticut. Here is, I guess, something you might not have thought he was dealing with, and he kind of went into it after the game.
It's the most absurd thing in the history of sport, by the way, is what we're doing in the portal while we're playing basketball. This is ridiculous. I've got one coach scouting and two just living in the portal. I'm making recruiting calls up and down this hallway yesterday as we're preparing for an Elite Eight game, and maybe that's my fault. But no, it's reality. We'll tackle it. We'll figure out what we need. And it's been great to us. You know, the University of Illinois has benefited from the portal as much as any team in the country.
So, if you don't know, the portal is open. So, you could be playing for a chance at the Final Four and still trying to maintain your roster.
It's stupid. Yeah. The timing has got to be
fixed. Terrible.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
And NC State, you know, they benefited from the portal also. A lot of these teams benefit from the portal. But the timing is terrible.
And you look at, I think there was a graphic of how the Elite Eight teams were built as far as where they started. And I think Duke may have been the only team who had a roster of guys who initially committed to Duke and signed to Duke. So, yeah, the portal is going to be a thing. And you got to deal with it even when you're about to get your head beat in by UConn. We're going to stick with that particular matchup because Dan Hurley loves to talk about how people hate his team. He did more of that yesterday, and he attributed some of the hate to their fan base.
And our fan base, again, is obnoxious as on social. So everyone hates us. And it was a chance to celebrate with them because you know, our fan base and our organization right now, you know, it's an us against the world of college basketball, and I wanted to celebrate with them a little bit.
Is it because we're not all the way locked in that we don't know that people hate UConn? Like, did you know that people just dislike UConn?
No, he just makes stuff up. It's up us against the world thing.
No, I feel like he reads social media and thinks everything he sees
is it.
I think he's in a bubble where I don't know if it's actually as big as he thinks it is.
No one, until they were a 4 seed last year. No one cared about UConn.
No one was thinking about them.
No one.
And then they went on a dominant run, but no one. I don't think people hate. They're not Duke.
No. They're not even close to Duke. No one cares about UConn.
Not the level he thinks.
He just thinks everything is just the whole world is pressing down against him and his program.
Maybe the Northeast hates him, but I can tell you right now, Dan Hurley, not that you're listening, no one thinks about you down here.
No one.
We don't think about you at all.
No one cares about you.
I don't think about you at all. Let's stick with maybe someone who actually is hated, Zach Edey. He had an interesting day yesterday outside of making the Final Four. He spoke a lot, and this is just a compilation of some of Zach Edey yesterday.
Unbelievable performance by this team, but by you specifically. What was your mentality in this game?
They thought they knew us, man. They thought they knew what we had in our hearts. I promise you they didn't. We're winners. That's what we do.
I get to pay him back. Like, there were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program, I can name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Quick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me, people look past me, and can't do that anymore. I got a
boner. That last thing was him saying, I've got a boner.
I couldn't hear that.
His teammate had the phone out because we all have our phones out. And at the end of their celebration, he just said, I've got a boner for whatever reason. Big meathead that he is.
Why?
I don't know why he said that. Maybe that led to that video that we saw a little bit later.
You know what? It is weird. As somebody who doesn't follow college basketball all season long, wait until the end. I mean, not on a national level. And, of course, I know who Zach Edey is. I mean, I've watched him. But Zach Edey is a 2-time National Player of the Year. And, I mean, there is no respect for him. And all I hear about is, well, he can't defend on the pro level. He's not even a first-rounder. But then you still have to guard Zach Edey. Like, you still have to have somebody who can – and I got news for you. go look around on most NBA teams. There's not a lot of guys who are used to guarding post players. They don't get that experience a lot. I mean, you do, again, in some college. Post play still exists in college basketball. But I think Zach Edey's going to be a problem. Yes, will he have an issue defending? Absolutely. But I also think that he'll score in the NBA.
Well, that'll be
but
the question.
But a team has to be willing to feed him.
How efficient do teams see that particular style of play? Are they going to throw it down to him four or five times in a row? And if he gets kept out of the lane a couple times, all right, we're done. Go back to shooting threes. And how can you keep him in the lineup? Can he play down the stretch of a game? Because you mentioned his defensive issues. So that's going to be the question, how many minutes he can stay on the court.
Shout out to Arthur, who's listening to the show. My son's, my wife's sick this morning, so my son's had to get an Uber to school. And he's like, Dad, this Uber driver's been listening to you guys for 20 years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so shout out to Arthur, who's listening. Get my kids to school on time so they don't get more tardies.
Yeah.
You're going to put that on Arthur?
Uber driver.
No, but one of my kids does have this weekend, or this Friday, we got a new detention. Then we have to. I'll be there on Friday picking them up at 6:30. Again, detention number 5 for the year.
Detention number 5.
Unbelievable.
Ah, he's got a little ways to go to catch up to you.
Yeah, I mean 5. Yeah. It's April. I mean, isn't he behind schedule?
Yeah,
may have had a suspension at some point this year too.
Well, that a boy.
What's going on at your home?
Just seemingly nothing. Not homework. I think Zach Edey is going to be Zach Edey reminds me a lot of Yao Ming. And one guy said, Yao Ming was generational.
No, he wasn't.
Yao Ming generational is like, you guys have got to stop using generational. I said, Yao Ming played in a time with Shaq and Tim Duncan. And you're calling Yao Ming generational when he played against those guys? Like, are you out of your mind? Yao Ming never made it in the top 10 in MVP voting. Generational? Yao was a good basketball player.
Yeah.
Yao was a freak show because he was 7'6" and could score. He could play. It took him a little while to get acclimated. But Yao was a sideshow because he was seven. He was a different thing than you had been used to. He was a giant. And he was way more skilled than Manute Bol or George Mirazon, two guys that had his size that had played previously. That's what made Yao special is that, you know, he's a giant, but he also was a smart basketball player, and he had touch. Now, Zach Edey's not a guy with great, you know, he's not going to step out from the basket. But in a low post, Zach Edey does a lot of the same things that Yao Ming did. He's actually a better athlete, I think, than Yao. But a seven, how tall is Zach Edey?
7'4". So Painter said he was 7'4" to start the season. He thinks he's 7'8".
He's taller now? 7'8".
Yeah. He thinks he's 7'8".
Stop adding to the legend, Matt Painter.
That's what he said.
He moves He moves pretty well for that size. It's just you're going to have to almost run guys up. He's going to have to step up. You're going to have an idea with how you trap double teams.
Would you want him on your NBA team?
It depends on what team. It's going to be very dependent on, like, if I were a team that was a static low post team that could defend.
Listen, he's not going to get down the floor in fast breaks, but there's a lot of half-court basketball.
Like Portland, sure. I'd take him in Portland.
I would take him against – I would like to see what he does against Jokic defensively.
Well, no one's going to do defensively, but how would Jokic do on him?
Right. Well, that too. That too. Jokic will stand outside.
You can't play college basketball and score 30 and 40 on a regular basis, and you can't tell me, well, this guy's just tall. Like, you're scoring against other guys who are going to play in the draft. Where do you think guys come from?
Sorry, I'm laughing because I saw you're talking about he can't do that without being a certain level. I was watching a clip, and for some reason there were two referees hugging. Like, it wasn't even a Purdue game. There were two referees hugging, and people were like, these refs just saw Zach Edey make a Final Four. Just two refs embracing.
His nickname is Foul Ming because he gets so many free throw attempts.
Yeah.
He broke a national record or something like that.
I was watching a compilation of the fouls yesterday, at least the called ones against Tennessee. He was getting packed. He was getting grabbed.
Those were fouls.
Yeah.
Now, I think the people get up frustrated because they think he gets away fouling and doesn't get called. But the ones I saw against Tennessee, those are hits.
The matchup against DJ Burns, honestly, So I thought Tennessee did a I don't know about you, Dell. I thought Tennessee was stupid. They just decided, and they listened to Charles Barkley. You got to let him get his points and shut out everybody else. Let Zach Edey get. You can't just do that, or they take over. Well, they're too hard to beat.
His supporting cast is pretty good.
His supporting cast is actually, they're better than DJ Burns.
Yes.
That's why DJ Burns' supporting cast, like, you can't afford to get in foul trouble. Neither one of those bigs can afford to get in foul trouble.
We saw what North Carolina State did to Filipowski. They doubled. They weren't just going to let him go one-on-one.
Yeah, but he's better than Filipowski.
A big man, their philosophy was, we're doubling. We're not going to let him.
Get it out of his hands. And then when they try to repost him, you go hard again. But you want to make sure that you have to try to eat up enough time. You have to play well in a half-court set. Like, you have to make them get deeper into the shot clock so that when you double-team him, he doesn't have a chance to kick. And some of it is you're going to have to live with
open threes. Hopefully they miss.
You're just going to have to live with some of that because you can't just let him beat your brains and get everyone in foul trouble.
Well, and they've been doing a pretty good job of it, too. They've been pretty good.
They're the one seed, as Lance said. The reason they're one seed. You got to pick and choose how you get beat or hope they have an off shooting night.
It can't just be one way the whole time.
It's gonna be a UConn Purdue final, and that'll be good. It'll be interesting to see.
I got news
with
for
Klingon against Edie.
Klingon is a Star Trek species.
He's
Klingon.
It'll be interesting to see that matchup. That'll be really, really interesting to see what Zach Edey can do against that dude. That'll be fun. Time for me to talk about, you're speaking of fun, Houston Powder Coaters is fun. They are really proud of all of the stuff that they do. You see all in the Woodlands, the entire waterway, it's powder coated all around. The giant Ferris wheel downtown, powder coated. Texans picnic benches, powder coated. It's Houston Powder Coaters is the place to call if you have a business and you have any powder coating needs. If your stuff is getting old, people don't want to sit on old patio furniture. They don't want to sit on old benches at your business. They want something. They want it to be nice. Otherwise, they don't come back. Oh, this place is ratty. I'm not coming back here. If you have a fence that is rusting out and you need it powder coated, Houston Powder Coaters will come. They will remove it. They'll put in temporary fencing, and they'll fix your fences. Listen, Houston Powder Coaters has been doing this. They're great. 20 years, 5-star customer service, great Google reviews, very hands-on, great communication between Robin or whomever you're dealing with over there. All right, patio furniture, they'll fix it. Car parts, they'll make them look like new again. Boat parts, you know, they're rusting out. You got Houston Powder Coaters for you. Free pickup and delivery every time. Hundreds of colors in stock, whatever you want, all at HoustonPowderCoaters.com. 281-676-3888, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
By the way, you see how Loperfido is hitting in the minors?
No.
He's crushing it. Joey Loperfido, as opposed to John Singleton, who can't... I mean, I just don't get it. Come up with the John Singleton thing. Listen, you're going to have to... just like they had to take away... the little center fielder, Miles Straw from Dusty. He's going to have to take Singleton away from. He's going to have to take him away.
I don't think he's that kind of hardhead. Honestly, I think Joe Espada wants to get him some looks, and if he's not good, then Joe Espada's not. Why would he be tethered to Singleton?
I have no idea. I don't know why you would bring him up in the first game in a pinch hit situation with two on when you need some contact and you got a non-contact hitter up.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, this is his job. This is his opportunity. I don't think he's hitching his opportunity to John Singleton.
Well, I hope not.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
I hope he's not. I really do.
I can't see it.
Yeah. It's national. They're celebrating autism awareness tonight at the ballpark. Yeah. Yeah. Joe Espada's 8-year-old daughter, Viviana, is going to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. Chandler Rome did a piece on her. So autism being celebrated tonight, and awareness of autism being celebrated tonight. Tyler wants to get in on this Yao Ming conversation. What do you say, Tyler?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on?
Good.
So, Lance, I first and foremost totally understand your, I guess, opposition to the word generational, but you threw that around with Yao Ming. I think whether or not you want to compare him to Edie is a fair point, but at the end of the day, he is a generational talent in the sense of he's the first major talent coming from Asia to the U.S. to play in the NBA, and look at all the doors that he's opened, and I know there's memes about it, and this guy's off to China at the end of his career, that sort of thing. But he's opened a lot of doors for people to go back to play in China. But I think what he's done is unprecedented, and I think it's generational in that sense. And so I think
you're making an exception.
Put that label on him.
So not as a basketball player, just a generational because he was born somewhere else? I understand your point. I think you can make your point without using the phrase generational. I think generational is just a ridiculous – I was comparing – this started because I compared Zach Edey's game to Yao Ming's, and I got the don't compare him. This is – that's ridiculous. Yao's a generational player, and I'm talking about basketball. Yao was a good player. He wasn't generational in that sense. I get what you're saying. Yao isn't very important because – I would argue what he did off the court is probably more important to the NBA than what he did on the court.
Okay, we can agree on that, but yeah. Generational doesn't just mean, you know, in the context of a quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. I agree with you. Let's not just he's generational, but what Yao Ming has done is truly generational from where he comes from and what he's done for the basketball community.
I think it's an interesting point. It's one I hadn't looked at or considered like that. I just still don't think for me, I think it falls into a different silo because generational means, but I mean, at the very strictest definition, I suppose you could make that argument because now there also hasn't been a huge influx of Chinese players like that. As you had to go back to, well, American players have been able to go over and play in China now. Yao was big business. Chinese player brought a lot of money to Leslie Alexander. He brought a lot of money to Houston. He brought a lot of eyes to the NBA. He was incredibly important. He's a Hall of Famer for that reason. Still, I use generational mean once in a generation. I mean, I guess you can make that argument, but it really doesn't have a lot to do with basketball. He was a good basketball player. He was not a great basketball player. He was a good player. And people didn't give him enough credit for how good he was at times.
But he's a Hall of Famer because of what he did for the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But generational has to do with how you play.
No.
I'm not giving you, he's given his accolades for what he did for the game. What he did for the game was be a 7'6" guy from China. I don't know that he went out of his way. Like, did he do anything other than just play basketball? Was there anything else that he did to foster relations between two countries? Or, like, I don't know that he did anything other than just play. His mother and father were put together early on. Yao was created. Yao was an arranged creation, from what I recall. Didn't he? But weren't his mom and dad were both basketball players, right?
Yeah, they're both tall, yes.
Very tall.
Yes.
Yao was the super human, you know, 7'6", great free throw shooter, good touch. But Yao, I don't know that Yao, from a personality standpoint, and he had a great sense of humor and all that, but did Yao foster relationships between two countries? Did he try to do things to open certain doors? I think Yao just had an opportunity to play basketball and play basketball. I don't think there was anything, some super element in his being that he created this and that. He just happened to be a guy that came from China. And a lot of money followed him. And Les Alexander, and I know this for a fact, the Rockets sent their faction of doctors, etc., over there, and they failed him physically because of the high arches. They said, you can't, like, this guy's arches are going to collapse on him. It's too much weight. We're going to have to keep him as light as possible. And basically, the Rockets failed him physically. They went back to Les Alexander, and he told them, go back. I need you to go back and come back with a different prognosis. And they said, okay, we guess Yao can play, but we don't know when his career could end at any time. This is being told to me by somebody with the Rockets at the time who told me about this stuff, actually told me 3 years after they had drafted him. And their biggest battle for Yao, like they went to his house one time. He had beer cans and pizza boxes. Yao was a true American at that point.
Love that.
He was, and they had to watch his weight. They couldn't let him get up over 300 pounds because that was so much for him to carry. And they had a battle to try to keep Yao's weight down because he loved drinking beer and eating pizza.
Thank you. Thank you. Yao's a regular person. He's a Hall of Famer.
He is now.
Thank
problem
you.
Problem was he couldn't stay healthy.
Well, right. He had too much weight on. He had too many beers on those feet.
Yeah, the feet, just the arches were too high for him.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got 1 hour left in this show. Let's hear from Kelvin Sampson finishing up the season on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, you're talking QC.
I'm talking about the one group that can have a big impact on your overall health, and that's QC Kinetics. A lot of people who have had issues with pain in their joints, chronic pain, you wake up in the middle of the night pain, you hurt when you get out of bed pain, you walk around and you can't, you know, you're not able to jog anymore. Maybe you can't play basketball, you can't play tennis, you can't be out there playing golf the way you want to. Whatever it is, your activity level, hiking, just walking. Well, the first thing you'll do is you'll start taking aspirin, then you'll go to the doctor and they'll suggest a shot. You'll get a steroid shot. It'll reduce inflammation until it comes back, and 3 or 4 months later, you're back where you were. Then they start talking about surgeries. Did you know you don't have to have all that? QC Kinetics can work on reducing your inflammation with regenerative medicine. And regenerative medicine is huge right now. It restores and regenerates damaged or lost tissue so that you have a reduction in inflammation that is long-lasting, that allows you to live your life without that chronic pain, that helps give you mobility back into your life. This is a great opportunity for you, so don't miss out on it. It's QC Kinetics. Make sure whenever you have an opportunity to do something other than surgery, that you give that a shot, because that's something that most doctors will tell you. They don't love doing surgeries. Well, QC Kinetics is something professional athletes have been doing for years, and it's now available to you. 4 locations here in the Houston area, QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5.